The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
So I kind of had a feeling this might open up a can of reaction as people chime in with their favorite candy bars of all time. And more people agreeing with the... It used to be called the $100,000 ball, then they just changed it to 100 grand.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you called it the 100,000...
Yeah, initially when they came out with it, the marketing was the $100,000 bar, then they changed it to 100 grand. Regardless, inside, great candy bar.
Nestle Crunch, I think, is an underrated one. That's somebody texted it in. Brandon said Payday. There's a ton more. I'm trying to catch up because the Twitter... Or the
I think
text
it's funny
blew
that
up.
You were trying to remember one that I had no idea, and by the time you said it, Lamont, I said, he just,
yeah,
he sent it to you.
Because I was like, what are those little white squares that they were just, they were white, but they came in the brown striped clear packaging, and you only usually get them around Halloween. And then lo and behold, Lamont posts a picture of them that says these were like kid crack. They're called Atkinson's peanut butter bars.
Yep.
They're good. But I'm not going out and buying them. But he is right. That's like kid crack in a way. We're getting a lot of... Here, let's see. I'm trying to get some of these in. So this one said, I don't mind Three Musketeers in my mouth. All right. That's not what we wanted. There's Kit Kat or Take Five from Manuel York Peppermint Patty. Hold on now. If I can't choose... Reese's peanut butter cups. You can't choose York peppermint patties. Can I get a ruling from the judge over here?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Besides Reese's peanut butter, Reese's pieces are candy,
right?
But they're not bars.
Okay,
right.
So, in a York peppermint patty is candy, but not a candy bar.
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you mean you guess so?
It's a
are you wavering
it's
on this?
Patty,
are you wavering?
I can see how people would say because it's just one solid. But no, yeah, I'm gonna say no.
Good, thank you. Take Five bar was another one that came in. No one is saying Milky Way. Yeah, no one is saying Milky Way because Milky Ways are disgusting.
It's not that good.
Yeah,
that was another
Milky Way.
The big ones were Milky Way, look, Snickers, Three Musketeers.
If you got kids in the car, turn down the radio for a second because the best way I could describe. I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm not doing it. Never mind.
People are like salivating waiting to hear you finish this thought.
No, I'm already going to get in trouble. I'm not doing it again.
School didn't get out till 3:15. You're fine.
Whatchamacallit, the Reese's Fast Break, chocolate, nougat, and peanut butter. I don't know.
Sounds like a bad candy bar in basketball season.
And Klondike bar is an ice cream.
Yes, it is.
So stop messing this up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But my mom was one of the demonstration ladies that goes to the grocery store and gave you the free samples. Everyone in my neighborhood came to my house because she brought home those Klondike bars and all different variations and whatever she didn't sell, she got to take home. Oh, my God. Yeah. There's a reason why I needed a shoehorn to get in the bathtub. I mean, those were killer, those Klondike bars.
Somebody said, it's a sports show. Why are we leaving out the Baby Ruth bar? Those things are
popular.
Delicious.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Twix is greater than everything. I like Twix, but they're not very filling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not very... I saw I was at the joke joint a couple weeks ago, and they had the mini Twix in a drawer. Mm-hmm. So they were the individual ones, and the packages were labeled left and right, which I thought was pretty hilarious. Because it's all good. The same, yeah. But then my OCD, I'm like, oh, I got a left one. Now I got to find a right one. And I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Why am I doing this? It's all the same. Still couldn't do it.
You have that problem in the morning? I got a left one. Where's the right one? Oh, I got them both. We're good.
Chico stick. No. No.
Well, the sneaky good ones, too, my grandma had. Because, like, we're talking candy bars. But, like, my mom always had a dish of the Jolly Ranchers, the sour apple, and the watermelon. And then the coffee candies. I don't know, but everybody loved those.
Coffee candies?
Yeah. It's like coffee candy, it's almost had like a caramel outer.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I wasn't a big fan of them, but they're all right.
My parents loved them. But then, I think it was only during like certain holidays, but Brock's made these little twisty, shiny, wrappered, elongated kind of caramels that had flavor in the center. But my goodness, my fat child self could go through like enough to make me crap light brown. I mean, those were fantastic.
Mark Villalobo said, what about the O. Henry bar?
I remember that.
I don't know if I've ever had.
Hank Aaron O. Henry?
Oh, I don't know if I've ever had one of those. Yeah, I don't know. I can't say that I have. And then, of course, Chan posts those little Andy's mints. Those don't count.
They don't count as candy bars, but boy, my wife will knock you over. You
know, really?
Yeah. I just go, here, honey, take them all, because I know she loves them.
Does she?
She loves gummy bears, too, but no sugar-free. She's going with the real thing.
Don't get the sugar-free.
Yeah, no.
Payday was legit.
Well, now, wait a minute. I might have to get her to try them.
Don't do that to her. Don't do that to her. Okay. Oh, a Wonka bar. I don't know what the hell that
is. Yeah. Willy Wonka bar. Yeah. Yeah. All right. James wants to get in here. He wants to talk candy bars. James, what's up?
Hey, guys, best show on the radio, hands down. I just wanted to bring up candy bar, you know, the ones that they used to sell in the schools for the fundraiser, the chocolate bars. I think those are the best candy bars.
Okay.
The which ones again, James?
The ones they for, like, school fundraisers?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, good for you. You're actually helping some kids. That's good. I don't know. Some of them are like, I think
some
it's kind
of
like,
whack.
I think it's kind of like Girl Scout cookies. Some of them are really good. Yeah, but, some of them are really bad.
Okay, that brings up one that I used to love, but I don't know
appreciate the
name of it.
James.
What was the one that, like, it was cut like a Hershey bar, but it was really thick cubes, and the cube in the center of them was like all this caramel?
I don't know. I can tell you like caramel.
Oh, I love caramel.
You're a caramel
no
crackhead,
question
right?
About it. Like, caramel was like crack when I was a
like,
kid.
For me, that's peanut butter. I love any. You can put peanut butter. Well, let me retract that statement before I finish it. I was going to say you could put peanut butter on anything and I'd eat it, but I think I know exactly what was going to come out of Joel's mouth next. So I retract that statement immediately.
We retract ourselves and go back to the toilet story.
Aussie Scott said in Australia, the Turkish delight was firm raspberry type jello with milk chocolate covering. And now we know why no one goes to Australia. That sounds so gross.
It does sound gross.
Turkish delights, though, are good little snacks.
What?
What the hell is that?
They're like little cubes. They're like sugared cubes, and it has like a little jelly. I'll bring some. I eat them all the time. They're great.
Don't bring me.
I guarantee.
Bring some for Aussie Scott, and he can have mine.
Aussie Scott, who also has Vegemite. I'm going to pass on a lot of the delicacies of Australia.
Vegemite's like diesel. You know what I mean? It's made from the scraps of other stuff that's useful.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Like Vegemite was just like leftovers.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like diesel gas. They just scrape the bottom of the barrel. I've never had it. Have you ever had Vegemite?
I've not. I've heard bad things.
So Moody bars and caramel.
What?
Oh, you know what that was? You know the bar I was talking about? I think it's called Caramello.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at.
Caramello?
Caramello. It's called Caramilk.
Yeah, chocolate on the outside, but just a whole lot of caramel on the inside.
I do remember those. It was they were stacked, right? They were stacked. That's not a candy bar.
No. It wasn't stacked. It was like a rectangle, but it was.
Oh,
separated. They were together. They were connected, but you could break off cubes. And when you broke it off, that caramel just ooh.
Rolos were the ones that were stacked.
Rolos were stacked. Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I'm hungry now. I really need some candy. We're going to ask Andy Huggins what his favorite candy is. And if he says Werther's because he's 67, all bets are off.
Werther's made coffee candy too, right?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. So, Nick, let's stay on schedule. We'll take a quick break. Taylor, we'll see you. We're coming to you. And then we'll get Andy Huggins in here at 3:30 to finish off the show. So we should have some fun before we hit 4 o'clock and AJ takes over with the Blitz. We'll be back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Where else can you go from home fix-it and repairs to the candy shop?
Yeah.
Nowhere. The usual suspects. We like to keep it fresh.
We are getting a lot of, like, Cody Owens, Scott Wharton, they're all saying zero bar. There's a lot of zero bar texts and tweets coming in, and I have no idea. I've never heard of the zero bar.
So the two new names that I'm interested in, because there's so many texts, is Zero and Take Five. It seems to me those two are, like, in terms of new or modern bars, they're, like, really good.
The Zero Bar came out in 1920 as a candy bar comprised of a combination of caramel, peanut...
1920?
Yeah, and almond nougat covered with a layer of white fudge, a.k.a. white chocolate fudge.
Is the Take Five? Is that a new
one?
I'm out,
because I don't like almond whatever, and I don't like...
You don't like almond nougat? You don't like almond nougat? Everyone loves almond nougat. Who just went...
Correa just went yard again.
Correa did? All right.
Second of the day. Stroh's taking control again.
5-1.
Yeah, I mean, zero bar I've heard of, but that doesn't just, to me, that's not doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, when you start adding in almonds, I'm out. By the way, guys, Jerry sent me a picture.
Yeah.
And?
He's not as weird as he sounds.
Oh, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
Okay.
He sent me a picture. And in his picture, he's holding up his iPad with one of my comedy headshots next to it. It looks so funny. But he's not as creepy or as weird as he sounds.
Or as he thought he would look.
He's got exquisite eyebrows, too. I don't know any other way to say that. They're very well kept, his eyebrows. You can definitely tell he waxes his eyebrows.
I was going to say, you think you get them waxed and plucked?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Other than that, I really can't pick on the dude. Oh, and he hashtagged it with Banana Republic. Yeah, he's a snazzy dresser as well.
I thought you guys were at the Buckle together.
No, that was
Macy's.
That's
what he always says.
He says he'll meet me at the Buckle, but we were in Macy's when he watched me.
Oh, that's right. He was stalking you.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So the candy bars just keep on rolling in, but I'm still sticking with my...
I can't keep up with the text. I would just tell you now. I'm done trying to read candy bar.
My top three, Carmelo. What was it called?
Caramello.
Caramello, 100 grand, and Snickers.
Okay. All right.
Your top three?
I got to go Kit Kat, Twix, and Butterfingers.
Okay. Nick, your top
Twix,
three?
Twix, Kit Kat, and Snickers?
All right. Snickers.
There you have it.
That's just
Snickers
lame.
Snickers is, I'm sorry, we didn't have one consistent all the way across, did we?
No, just well, Nick and I shared two.
You shared Kit two. Kat. Yeah, Nick and I shared Snickers.
Okay. Well, see, so there you go. But it's close.
Freaking text line. I don't like sugared pubes. Whoever texted that, you can go F yourself.
You see how I didn't read that? Do you see how I sheltered you?
You're not going to get points for not reading one.
All right.
Did you guys also have...
So I thought I was doing so good sheltering. I got a hate text and I didn't read it. You got a hate text and I didn't read it. Joel got a hate text and I didn't read it.
I really don't care.
I thought I was being nice.
I really
nice.
Don't care if you read my hate
I
text.
Thought
no,
I thought I was being... You know. Besides, I said I wanted nothing but positive text this
it's
week.
It's more about the people that sends it than what they're saying about us. But the other thing is, did you guys have those... Just because, again, you can tell now that my crack is caramel. The caramel squares, they're cubes. They were just plastic wrap craft caramels. Like, they were just individual, like, dice cubes of caramel.
Yeah, you see them a lot on Halloween. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Just wrapped in plastic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I know
boy.
What you're talking about now.
They're good.
Yeah, I could eat a whole bag of those too,
good.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
I had digestive problems, as you could tell, because I was a large kid that was very much... When I found something I liked...
I see this.
Oh, boy.
You were a little... crackhead for candy back in the day. Is that
I don't eat candy.
Is that what made you big?
I think genetically I was
just
born,
predisposed.
Yeah, I was before puberty. I just was blessed to have the fats. But thankfully,
the fat.
Yeah, but thankfully, the baby fat went away before I got to high school. Thank God.
You had the fats, so you got skinny by high school.
Yeah,
well, that's a good time to get skinny. Because it could have been after high school. Yeah.
Otherwise, I might still be a virgin.
I was just saying, and you got skinny, lost your virginity in high school.
Nope.
No.
No.
Junior.
Well, let's not get into that too much. But yeah, no, I didn't want to say no too quick. But yeah, just the getting skinny part helped a lot.
Let's not. It's 3:20. Let's not.
Sports wise, it helped. Taylor's back in school today, but yeah.
That's not
I'm
good
surprised Lisa didn't right. chime in, because you talk about someone that's a candy, like sweets and cake and
How
candy.
Does she stay in such good shape?
No idea. But, well, because she runs a lot, too.
Okay.
But yeah, she has that ability that she can just run off whatever she eats. But between cake and then, like, between gummy bears and candy, she will break it down to a science for you, but she has her favorites, and she can knock them down.
Man. I wish I could do that. I saw this. I saw in our rundown sheet. I was curious about this because I really wanted to see the picture he tweeted. But somebody put in this story about Jim Irsay tweeting an image of a nude woman.
Yeah.
Was that you that found this?
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to see the picture that he tweeted?
Yeah, he just colored over the nips.
I didn't see it, but he just said he got hacked. So apparently he posted.
It was a very buxom blonde.
Yeah, a photo of a nude woman was tweeted from Irsay's Twitter account late Wednesday night. And was live for a little over 10 minutes before being deleted. The image was of an adult film star.
Oh, is
and
that
then
who it was?
Then he tweets out and says, I've been hacked! Be careful out there! Yeah, that's what it is.
Let me find the picture for you.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's just another faux pas by a guy that's notorious for screwing up on Twitter.
By the way, I think this is the second time. I think there was another incident before where he got hacked and something came out.
Quote, hacked.
He's done a lot of stuff where he's supposedly gotten hacked. But it's just because he's on something and just decides that it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I'm not believing that. I mean, that's... I know that it happens, but if a hacker steals your password on Twitter... They're not just going to tweet out a picture of a nude porn star. They're going to do other things like, hey, come get these Ray-Bans for $4 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, they're not doing that. So.
That's just, I mean, but again, this guy's notorious. His track record is he's got way too many screw-ups.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
I'm trying to find it for you now, and I can't find it. And I had the one article, I thought I tagged that too, that had the actual picture. It looked like someone had taken a Sharpie and just colored over the Nepals, but other than that it was a very, very well-to-do, chesty blonde woman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So you know what her name?
I didn't know it was an adult
You didn't recognize
star.
Her from Pornhub?
No.
I'm sure Nick would.
Or Bang Bus Nick?
That's, well,
I didn't really
mind.
Take a good look at the picture, so I can't
But you saw the picture, right?
You did see the picture that he tweeted, Nick?
No, I couldn't see real good picture. On the website I have, it's not a
it
good...
It was just like... Shoulders down.
I don't know.
I saw.
I don't know, but I think it's safe to say that we're the opposite of whatever a Jinx is on this show because Reddick is
on fire.
On absolute fire. Now, I get it. He was on fire before, but I'd like to think that it was because of us. So hopefully,
I think we need to encourage that. All of you
people
on Twitter need to hit up Josh Reddick and tell him his
appearance
on our show.
Yeah, ever since you went on The Usual Suspects, the last two games, you have just been ridiculous. You should do that show weekly. We should do that.
Without question.
Yeah, I like it.
And as suspects, you guys need to step up. So
it's
there
true.
You have it.
It's true.
All right. So Andy Huggins is next. He'll talk a little comedy and a little baseball as we'll get him in and make him an honorary suspect. And we will have some more fun. We got a half hour to go in the show before we turn it right back to the Blitz. AJ and his cast of thousands. We'll be back with more ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Where are my old people at? Make some noise. Because I can't hear you. You got to make some noise here. Do drink up. I just had my favorite drink at the bar, Red Bull and Metamucil. An early bird bomb. I am a recovering alcoholic, 26 years sober. Had to be done. First love of my life, I met in a bar. We met when I fell off my bar stool. She was already on the floor.
I'm going to let my man Barry do the honors as one of his friends is in the studio.
My man Andy Huggins joins us on The Usual Suspects.
Gentlemen.
How's it going, Andy?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here.
Yeah.
We got a show tonight, and I wanted to bring him on and pump up the show. And I know how much he loves Astros. It's baseball season. And when we go on the road, I was telling him, when we go on the road, we talk baseball all the time. So I thought, well, you know, we've had Billy D on before,
right?
Very
to
good.
Talk sports and Rockets, because he loves Rockets. So I thought, you know what? What, I'm a comic, you're a sports guy. What? But bring on guys that can talk both, right?
Yeah, so, right. And you got me on with an afternoon game.
Yeah.
Yeah. You came in, the first thing you wanted to know was, run in?
I've run it for him. And, Andy's old school. He still has a flip phone, so he's not getting Astros updates.
No. but I can't tell you what day of the week it is. There you go.
It's got that on the front.
June 29th.
You check your Twitter account on that all day?
3:33 in the afternoon.
Look at that.
I can put it on either vibrate or defibrillator. Either way, it works.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I've been a baseball – I grew up in Northern Virginia. I was talking to Michael.
Nick? Michael.
And my favorite baseball teams ever was the Earl Weaver
Orioles.
But these guys are about to surpass – these guys are great. I mean, not only are they the best team in baseball, but they're a fun group to watch.
I agree.
And they're an interesting offense. I can't think of a team in my that is so. I mean, you got Gurriel batting eighth,
right?
What kind of batting order is that? I mean, that's just great.
Well, and I'm with you because I grew up in Milwaukee. I was a Brewer fan and a Red Sox fan because my dad had me watch Fred Lynn because he was left-handed.
Yeah.
So I grew up with those two teams. But ever since I've been here to watch, it's kind of like we're talking about the Golden State Warriors, how you have to give them credit because they were built from within. They drafted well. They did these things. You endured the two really bad seasons, but they drafted well. Watch these kids mature has been so much fun that I'm just a diehard Astros fan now.
Yeah, and the coaching at the minor league level must be terrific because they just not only drafted, you know, the best players, but they developed.
They got there in a hurry.
Yeah, and they were major league all stars almost from the get go.
Yeah.
I mean, Springer didn't go through a growing period that was brutal. Altuve didn't.
Correa
didn't. Bregman had a rough 30 at bats, but he came through.
Boy.
But they're just a terrific team. And here they are, 12, 13 games up, and Keuchel's missed, what, 5, 6, 7 starts?
Yeah.
The best pitcher in the league has missed that many starts, and they're still 12 games up?
I said terrific. I did this in my article, and I was going to see what both of you guys thought about this, and you too, Nick, but I was making bold predictions. I made 3 bold predictions on yesterday's article for the baseball season. And my third one, I figured I was going to take a lot of heat for because I realized there's a guy named Chris Sale, and I also realized there's a guy named Dallas Keuchel that's going to be coming back. But I said that my bold prediction, which is also, if you read between the lines, I mean stupid, but my bold prediction was Lance McCullers could win the Cy Young. I know that's silly, but take a look at what he's doing. If you look statistically at what he's doing, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he does that.
You think about the quietness that he had when he almost had a no-no 2 starts ago. You think about last start that he still maintains. He's only given up like 1 run per start. And if he keeps that curveball in with location, boy, he's nasty.
And it no longer that people don't put the emphasis on total number of wins.
That's right.
Like they used to.
Earned run average is huge.
He can miss a couple of starts like he has already. He could finish, 15-4.
Yeah.
And maybe not the most wins in the league, but still win because his earned run average is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, so I looked at where he ranks as if you're scoring. He's 8th in the AL in wins, 7th in Ks, 2nd in ERA, 2nd in WHIP, 6th in strikeout to walk ratio, and 3rd in strikeouts per 9 innings. That's solid all the way across the board.
It's not out of the realm.
Yeah. Is there a statistic for pitchers? I know sabermetrics are always readjusting things. Is there, instead of wins now, what is the predominant?
WAR. Even for pitchers, they'll look at WAR.
Wins,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to look up what his WAR would be as a pitcher. But, there's always I can't even keep up, and I'm a stats nerd, you know that, but I can't even keep up with all the stuff that they're coming up with now.
No.
It's crazy. Yeah. Now, I would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit of comedy before we get in, because I want to get some of your, because you've told me stories about like Earl Weaver, and like you always tell me these things that I want to remember because I want to bring to the show and be like, oh God, Andy told me this story, but I can never remember it.
Well, there's one because I thought of it the other day because Ken Giles was making me crazy.
Me too.
It was that 6-1 game, and he gave up a single and walked 3 in a row, and he eventually got out of it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm crazy. 1978-79, Earl Weaver managing the Orioles. He had a relief pitcher named Don Stanhouse, and he had one charm life year where he would put people on, in part because he didn't want to pitch to them.
Mm-hmm.
But he put people on and get out of it. You know, one run game, he's the closer. He put people on, he'd get out of it. And his nickname on the team was Full Pack, because that's how many cigarettes Earl Weaver went through. Stanhouse.
It's a great nickname. He had the bushy blonde hair and the bushy mustache. I remember. Yep.
Yeah. He had a couple of pretty good years. Here's something that I was looking up. His best year, he had 24 saves, which is kind of so-so. And I think, well, that's kind of so-so for a reliever on a division-winning ball club.
Mm-hmm.
But then I looked at the whole pitching staff. You know how many complete games the Orioles had in 1978? 65.
That was Flanagan and what? Palmer.
Cuellar.
Yeah.
Dobson.
Wouldn't get 65 in a division.
I know. So he was probably an epic number.
Of saves? Yeah. Back then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you're a Earl Weaver guy, right? Like I love
Earl.
Is he maybe your favorite character of the game, Earl Weaver?
Oh, without a doubt. If you get a chance, there's a YouTube of Earl Weaver getting thrown out of a game that's just
he would go nuts. And he had the vegetable garden out in the bullpen in left field.
Yeah, and one day it never aired, but he had a post game show or a pregame show, and some lady called in or wrote in asking about the garden, and it went off the rails.
Oh, did it really?
Oh, yeah. Weaver had a few suggestions as to what the lady should be doing with her life as opposed to worrying about his tomatoes.
Well, I can only imagine.
Yeah, you look that up on YouTube. Look up that argument, which is hysterical. He kept arguing with the first base umpire. Then he'd start to walk away. Then he'd come back at him. I kept waiting for Eddie Murray to put the cape over him. He's exiting like James Brown. My favorite Earl Weaver story is he had a designated hitter named Pat Kelly, who was a born-again Christian. And he was always proselytizing in the clubhouse. And he told Earl one day, you know, Earl, I walk with the Lord. And Earl said, I'd rather you walk with the bases loaded.
That is awesome, man. I heard Earl was like he was one of those sharp tongued assassin kind of guys, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. That's what I love about baseball. The characters that you hear about and read and see in this game. It's like no other sport, really.
The best movies are made about baseball.
Yeah.
The best short stories are baseball. The best journalism is baseball. The best characters are baseball.
Yeah.
And I say that loving basketball. And loving football also. But
yeah, you grew up playing basketball, right? That was your...
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the show, because tonight, you and I are doing a show at the Seeker Group. It's called Coffee is for Closers. You're closing it out.
Yeah.
And then Ashton Womack, is he hosting? I saw he got added to the bill.
Yeah.
Is he hosting?
Yeah, he's hosting. And,
okay.
Ashton's a young comic that's moving to New York.
Yep.
Sunday.
So it'll be the three of us at the Seeker Group. And what a lot of people don't know about Andy is you were an original Texas Outlaw comic, right?
Yeah.
And you were with Bill Hicks.
Yeah. And Ron Schock.
Yep. Jimmy Pineapple's in the group.
Pineapple, yeah.
Riley Barber. It's funny because when you have Ron Schock, greatest storyteller of all time, you have Bill Hicks, who really changed the way people looked at comedy.
That's who Billy Dee was talking about when he was on, right?
Yeah,
Bill Hicks.
Yeah. And then you have, Sam Kinison was in that as well. In certain ways, right? Like he started something similar.
It was like the old music group, The Drifters. At any one time, there were three different outlaw comic groups touring the country. But Sam wasn't part of our group, but Jimmy and John Frenetti and Riley Barber.
You said that because, I mean, when you think about you, because you have your name on the Comedy Store, which is a big deal in the comedy business. Yeah. That's a big deal. You were at the store. You know, I was telling people how you would just sit up in the belly room and hang out with Letterman and talk baseball. And Pryor watched your set one time. Yeah, so there's you've been there. You've done it. But you would say that Hicks and Shock and you weren't even the funniest Texas Outlaw comic, right? I mean, there was guys that you felt were as funny or funnier.
Well, just Riley Barber, who is out in Los Angeles now, nobody's ever made me laugh more than Riley Barber. He's just funny. And, you know, all of us were funny, but Riley just killed me.
Yeah?
Riley just killed me. But it was nobody back in the 80s when I got to Houston in 81 and the Comedy Workshop was going strong then. Nobody, I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating, nobody ever laughed more than I did. And harder. We would we did our shows and then we just hung out all night, too late into the night quite often. But just a great bunch of guys and so talented.
Yeah.
So talented.
And you talk about those in the set, right? Like, I mean, like when you talk about, because you were saying hanging out late at night, like you guys were getting down, you were partying.
Yeah.
You talk about that quite a bit, huh?
You know.
He doesn't like to, but you know, he likes to play that innocent 67-year-old man.
Yeah, you know, it's 4 in the morning. Your options are limited as to exactly how to keep the party going until 5, so things happen.
Well, let's take a quick break. Andy's going to join us till the end of the show, so let's take care of some business so that we can finish the show strong. We'll be back with a whole lot more with Andy and Barry and Nick. I'm Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. When you're single
talents. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back to wrap things up on The Usual Suspects. And before we get back to Andy Huggins and fun and games, we want to make sure that you guys get a little bit of love from us. We appreciate what you do listening every day. So we've got Local Brews, Local Grooves tickets. That's this Saturday at the House of Blues. Right now, we're going to let you win a pair of tickets to Local Brews, Local Grooves Craft Beer and Music Festival. It's going to be 20 craft breweries, an electric mix of 13 buzzworthy local bands, and new Green Street Outdoor Stage and Beer Garden, all at the House of Blues. Tickets and information available at houseofblues.com. You must be 21 and up to win. Right now, caller 13, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Caller 13 is going to win a pair of tickets to Local Brews, Local Grooves. Good luck.
13, huh? Getting tricky with it?
Yeah, a little bit.
I like it.
Mixing it up.
I like it. I dig it. All right, Andy, let's talk comedy for a minute. So we have the show at the Secret Group. It's the Secret Group's located at 2101 Polk Street. Starts at 8 tonight.
8 o'clock, Polk and St. Emmanuel.
Yep, 8 o'clock. Doors at 7.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Not that far from Minute Maid. Just wrap this game up.
Is that near Toyota Center and Minute Maid?
Yeah.
Just walk over there. Get you some tickets.
Yeah.
Come say hey. Come check it out. I tried to describe your comedy in the past on the show, and it's pretty much just a gut punch for 30, 45 minutes. Just nonstop. Yeah. I mean, laughs per minute is a thing in comedy, which I know you don't subscribe to necessarily. Yeah. But I'm a dork like that, and I do. And laughs per minute, I don't think you're going to find anyone in the state that packs more laughs into a minute of comedy than Andy does, and he's too modest to agree with that, but it's a fact.
Well, it's set up punchline, set up punchline, set up punchline. There's I live in fear of dead air.
Yeah.
So there's no as I told Ron Schock one time, you speak in paragraphs, I speak in sentences, and a lot of comics have a more conversational rhythm to it, and I don't.
You're a one-liner comic, I guess, what people would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't feel that way because, you know, I'll go up and talk about being married and it's just a conversation about marriage, but But what I find interesting is that as a one-liner comic, usually people think of a one-liner comic as this is the joke and then I move on to something else.
Yeah.
But you're essentially doing those on a topic. And it's just one after. It feels more like a story than like one-liners.
Yeah.
So.
It's like I'm the Ernest Hemingway of comics. I just get right to the point. Yeah. No adverbs. I hate adverbs. So we just go, here's what happened, and then this thing funny happened, and then we're on to. But there are certain sections I talk about, you know, a girlfriend or ex-girlfriend. I talk about my drinking days and talk about being 67 years old, and I got a neighbor I talk about. So I guess it has kind of a story, thematic feel to it. So it's not Henny Youngman pulling a one-liner from about his mother-in-law, and then a one-liner about traffic, and then I stand second to no man in my admiration of Henny Youngman. I'd love
to. Is that your favorite?
Not my favorite, but I just love that stuff.
Yeah?
I just love jokes.
Take My Wife, Please.
Oh, yeah. Best joke ever written. Four words, set up, punchline. You'll never. In fact, I wrote a joke. I came close to. And I can't do it on the air. But it was five.
That's a dump.
Yeah. It was a five-word one-liner.
And you?
And Rich Heidner, who's a terrific comic, he said, you almost got it. Yeah, oh my God. But that's the goal. That's one of my goals.
A four-word perfect joke.
Yeah. Shut up and punchline in four words.
Okay.
Now, are you good? You've been in the business a long time. Are you good with where comedy is now as opposed to when you were just breaking in and when, like, is it in good hands? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I think so.
You hear a lot of people that say there's way too much people getting laughs off of just the cussing and the talk, but.
You know, because you can now, but it. The quality of the comedy, I think, has improved. The cursing, yeah, but that's always been around. It's just what curse word. You know, before you could only use these four curse words, but they use those four curse words too. Mm-hmm. They also use cheap, ethnic and racial stereotypes to get laughs.
Sure.
So if you want to trade one for another, I think we're ahead of the game.
Still happens, though. I mean, there's still all the hack comics that – their whole set is built around a stereotype more than anything else.
And if you call them out on it, you're just being politically correct.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
Now, who was most influential, though, for you?
I'm guessing for anybody my age, I'm 67. I'm guessing for a lot of comics my age, it's Woody Allen. He certainly was.
Really? Yeah.
Certainly was for me. When growing up... watching stand-up in the 50s and the 60s, and the only time I saw stand-up was like Ed Sullivan Show, and then the daytime Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas, whatever. Most of the comics were one-liners.
Yeah.
I never saw somebody like Louis C.K. And I've wondered, well, if I had been exposed to that, would I have gone in that direction? And I think not. But Woody Allen was huge because he demonstrated that the lines could be bright. It didn't have to be the lowest common denominator.
Right.
You could talk about seemingly personal things. And so he was a huge influence. In fact, it kept me out of trying stand-up for a while because I thought, well, I could never write lines that good. And I don't know if have you ever listened to Woody Allen's stand-up?
See, I didn't know Woody Allen did stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
I knew all the movies and everything, but I didn't know he did stand-up.
A lot of people, and I've been very pleased to point them in the direction. Woody Allen's stand-up was
interesting,
brilliant. Oh, it was brilliant.
Who do you think is the most underrated right now? Most underrated comic that we see.
We know Barry publicly. Laminack. But aside from Barry Laminack,
You know he gets his due, but I keep waiting for him to go beyond. You know, being he's more popular than a comics comic, but Dave Attell.
Yeah,
Dave Attell is so funny and. I keep waiting for him to, comics love him, and he's always worked steady, and he's got a great career and everything.
And he pumps it out. Material.
Yeah.
People don't know how hard it is to come up with as much material as he does.
Yeah.
Tell, T-E-L-L?
Yeah.
A-T-E-L-L.
Oh, Dave Attell?
Yeah.
Attell. Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Gotta look him up.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's been around for a while, and who knows why somebody does and somebody doesn't, but I would say he's underrated. Well, he's not underrated. I should say he's unknown. If people knew him, he'd be very highly rated.
Right.
But that's the problem. People don't know who Dave Attell is. Love Dave Attell.
Come check out the show. It's tonight, 8 o'clock, doors at 7, The Secret Group, 2101 Polk Andy's going to be closing it out, headlining the show. I'll be featuring for him, and Ashton Womack is hosting.
Strong show.
It is. It's very strong. Ashton is a killer. That's why he's going to New York. So we're going to have some fun. Come check it out.
Appreciate Andy. Stop by anytime.
Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
For Andy, for Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you again tomorrow to wrap up a good week. The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.